بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we studied and we discussed shurut as-salah, the conditions of the salah. And a shart, a condition, is something which has to be fulfilled before the salah begins. So a shart is not a part of the salah, it's something which is external to the salah and has to be fulfilled before and then maintained throughout the salah. So for example, wudu or tahara. Wudu and tahara is not an action of the salah. It is something which is external to the salah and it has to be fulfilled before a person enters into the salah and then maintained throughout a salah. And we mentioned that shurut as-salah, the conditions of the salah are nine. Firstly, al-Islam, that a person has to be a Muslim. So if a person is not a Muslim, then his salah is not accepted. Secondly, al-Aql, because if a person does not have al-Aql, i.e. intellect, then salah is not a wajib. Thirdly, at-Tamyiz, and the meaning of Tamyiz is an age of mental maturity, or 7 years old. And then the fourth shart is raf'ul hadath, that a person has to remove himself from the symbolic state of impurity. So if it is al-hadath al-asghar, then through making wudu. And if it is al-hadath al-akbar, the major form of impurity, then through al-ghusl. And if a person does not have water, then through at-tayammum. And then the next condition is izalatun nijasa, is the removal of any physical impurity. And this is from a person's body and a person's clothing and the area in which a person is going to pray. That if there's any nijasa, if there's any physical impurity, it has to be removed. And then the next shart is sitr al-awra, that a person has to cover the awrah. And we mentioned that the awrah of a female is all of her body except her face and her hands. And the awrah of a man, a mature person, a male, is that which is between his knees and his navel and also covering the shoulder. So he has to cover between his knees and his navels. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ شَيْءٍ, and that also he is covering his neck or his upper body. And then the next condition, the seventh condition, is دُخُولُ الْوَقْتِ, the entering of the time. Each salah has to be prayed in its correct time. The eighth condition is إِسْتِقْبَالُ الْقِبْلَةِ, the facing of the Qibla. And the meaning of the Qibla is the direction of the Kaaba. So if a person is standing in front of the Kaaba, then he has to face the Kaaba itself. But if a person is far away, like in our country today, then a person faces the direction of the Qibla. And then the ninth condition, the ninth shart, is an-niyyah, that before a person begins his salah, he has to have the correct intention, the correct niyyah. وَمَحَلُّهَا الْقَلْبُ وَتَلَفَظْ بِهَا بِدْعَةً, and the place where the niyyah is in the heart. And to utter the niyyah upon the tongue, then this is an innovation. All of this was studied and discussed in the previous lesson. And in this lesson, we come to arkanu salah, the pillars of a salah. And the word arkan, this is a plural of rukn. The rukn in the salah is something which is a part of the salah, and if a person leaves it, intentionally or forget out of forgetfulness, then the rak'ah is invalid. So the shart, the condition is before the salah, and it is not part of the salah. The rukun is an action from within the salah, inside the salah. And if a person abandons one of the arkan, whether it is amdan, intentionally, or even out of forgetfulness, then that rak'ah in which the rukun is missing, it is not correct. It is not valid. And it has to be repeated again. This is the meaning of rukun. And he said, the author, rahimullah, he said, arkanu salah arba'atu ashar. The arkan of the salah, they are 14. There are 14 arkanu salah. Al-qiyamu ma'al qudra. First of all, standing, if a person is able to stand. Wa takbiratul ihram, which is the first takbira. Wa qira'atul fatiha, the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Al-Ruku', which is the bowing. Al-I'tidal min al-Ruku', and then standing up from the bowing. Was-Sujood, and making sujood. Ala al-A'dha al-Sab'a, upon 7 limbs. Wal-Raf'u min, and then getting up from the sujood. Wal-Jalsa bayn al-Sajdatayn, and a sitting between the two prostrations. وَالطَّمَأْنِينَ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَفْعَالِ, and having طَمَأْنِينَ, meaning being calm in every single action. وَالتَّرْتِيبِ بَيْنَ الْأَرْكَانِ, and doing these actions in the correct order and sequence. وَالتَّشَهُدُ الْأَخِيرِ, the final tashahud. وَالْجُلُوسِ لَهُ, and then the sitting of the final tashahud. وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, and sending salutations upon the Prophet. وَالتَّسْلِيمَتَان, and the taslim, making the taslim. All of these actions which have been mentioned, they are from arkan as-salah. They are the pillars of as-salah. And as I mentioned, this means that if a person leaves out any one of these actions, whether it is intentionally or out of forgetfulness, then his rak'ah, it is not valid. So if a person, for example, he was praying dhuhr, and dhuhr is 4 rak'ahs. In one of these rak'ahs, let's say he forgot one of these arkan. He forgot to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And in the other 3 rak'ahs, he recited Surah Al-Fatiha. In this situation, he has only prayed 3 rak'ahs. And when he finishes salah, then he has to stand up for the 4th rak'ah one more time, because 1 rak'ah was not complete. So if, for example, a person, he prays 4 rak'ahs. In the first rak'ah, he forgets to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And in the last 3 rak'ahs, he recites Surah Al-Fatiha and the rest of the arkan. Then he has only done 3 rak'ahs of Salat al-Dhuhr, and he has to still pray 1 more rak'ah. So when he finishes the salah, he stands up and he prays another rak'ah. And if he remembers that he forgot Surah Al-Fatiha relatively quickly, meaning just after the salah, by a few minutes he remembered, then he prays a single rak'ah. He gets up, he does takbiratul ihram, and he prays a full rak'ah, and then he makes a taslim. And if he remembered after a while, after 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, a few hours, then he has to repeat all of the salah again, because the salah, it was not valid. So the first of these arkan is al-qiyam ma'al qudra, is standing as long as he is able to stand up, or he stands as much as he is able to stand. So the first action of the salah is not takbiratul ihram. The first action of the salah is al-qiyam, because a person cannot make takbiratul ihram if he's not standing up. So al-qiyam, the standing in the salah, this is the first action of the salah. And al-qiyam, standing up, this is a rukn from the arkan as-salah in the fard prayer. In the fard prayer, it is a rukn.
However, in the sunan or the nawafil or even the witr, it is something which is highly recommended. Because sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would pray the sunan salawat, he would pray them sitting down. Or he would pray the nafil salah sitting down. So, al-qiyam, it is only a rukan in the fard prayer. However, in the nafil prayer, it is something which is mustahab, something which is legislated and recommended. And Allah said in the Quran, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And some of the mufassirun, they said, the meaning of qanitin is to stand up in the salah. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith of Umran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu, he said, صَلِّ قَائِمًا. Pray your salah standing up. فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَقَاعِدًا. And if you are not able to pray the salah standing up, then sitting down. فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ. And then if you're not able to do so, then on your side, lying down or on your side. And in the salah, a person has to pray the arkan as much as he's able to do so. Meaning, if a person cannot make sujood in the salah, but he's able to make ruku' and he's able to stand up, then he has to stand up, make takbiratul ihram standing up, perform ruku' properly, and then when it comes to the time of sujood, then he can sit on the chair again. And then if he is able to, for example, sit on the floor for at-tashahud, then he sits on the floor. And this is a mistake that people make sometimes, that maybe they can't do the ruku' only, so what they will do, they will pray the whole salah sitting down, and this is incorrect. Whatever a person can pray standing up, a person has to pray standing up. And that portion of the salah in which he has a disability, then he or she can pray sitting on a chair or lying on the side or however they are able to do so. And as for the nafil prayer, as I mentioned, a person can pray standing up or he can pray sitting down. However, the reward for standing up is more and the reward for sitting down is less. And in the hadith of Umran ibn Husayn radiallahu an, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding praying the salah sitting down, meaning praying a nafil prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Man salla qa'iman fahuwa afdal." Whoever prays standing up, it is better. And the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used this word better, it means it is permitted to pray sitting down. But praying standing up, it is better. And then he said, وَمَنْ صَلَّى قَاعِدًا فَلَهُ نِصْفُ الْأَجْرِ. And whoever prays sitting down, meaning the nafil prayer, then he has half of the reward. وَمَنْ صَلَّى نَائِمًا فَلَهُ نِصْفُ أَجْرِ الْقَاعِدِ. And whoever prays the salah نَائِمًا, then he has half of the reward of the one who is sitting down. And here notice, the word which is used is نَائِمًا. And ordinarily, the meaning of the word na'iman means asleep. But here, the meaning of na'iman means lying down. So whoever prays the prayer lying down, then he has half of the reward of the person who prays the prayer sitting, and that person has half of the reward of a person who prays standing up. This is for the nafil. As for the wajib or the fard prayer, if a person prays it sitting down and he has the ability to pray it standing up, then the salah it is not valid. And he has to repeat the salah standing up. And then the second rukan is takbiratul ihram. Takbiratul ihram is saying Allahu Akbar. So takbiratul ihram is not the raising of the hands. And the majority of the fuqaha, jamhur al-fuqaha, they said that the raising of the hands, this is from the sunan or the mustahabbat. This is from the recommended actions. It is not from the arkan. And the ahnaf rahimahumullah, they said it is wajib. So even they did not say it is from the arkan. They said it is from the wajibat. But the saying, the statement Allahu Akbar, this is takbiratul ihram. And this is a rukan. The takbirat in the salah are two types. The first of them is takbiratul ihram, and this is the first takbira that a person says in order to initiate and begin the prayer. And all of the other takbirat are called takbiratul intiqal. And these are the takbirat a person says in order to move from one position to another position, i.e. to go from qiyam to ruku', and to go from qiyam to sujood, and from sujood to sitting, and from sujood to standing up. All of these takbirat are called takbiratul intiqal. The rukn is takbiratul ihram. This is the rukn. And there's a difference between takbiratul ihram and the rest of the arkan. The rest of the arkan which we mentioned, if a person does not fulfill them, then only the rak'ah in which it was missing is invalid. And therefore a person only has to repeat that single rak'ah. But if a person leaves out takbiratul ihram, whether it is out of forgetfulness or intentionally, then the whole salah is invalid. He hasn't initiated the salah. Because we said the salah, it is af'alun wa aqwalun makhsusa muftatihatun bit takbir. It is certain statements and actions beginning with a takbir, ay takbiratul tahrim. So if a person does not say the first takbir, he has not entered into the salah and has to repeat the salah, all of it again. Takbiratul ihram, it has three different names. Sometimes the fuqaha, they call it takbiratul ihram. Sometimes they call it takbiratul tahrim. And sometimes they call it takbira tahrimiyya. Takbira tahrimiyya. All of these names, they mean the same thing. Either first takbir that a person makes. Why is it called takbiratul ihram or takbiratul tahrim? The word ihram and tahrim comes from the same word, meaning something being haram, something being impermissible or forbidden. And the ulama mentioned that the reason why takbiratul ihram is called takbiratul ihram is because certain actions which are allowed, which are halal for a person to do out of the salah, they now become haram for a person to do inside the salah. So for example, eating food outside of the salah, it is halal. But as soon as you make the first takbira, because it is takbiratul tahrim, it now makes that halal action haram. So in the salah, you are no longer allowed to do the halal action. And drinking and talking and looking around and all of these actions which are halal outside of the salah, once you make takbiratul tahrim or takbiratul ihram, all of these halal actions, they now become haram. And as I mentioned, takbiratul tahrim, it is the statement Allahu Akbar. And it is not allowed for a person to say any other statement to initiate the salah. And this is with the majority of the fuqaha. However, the Ahnaf rahimahumullah, they said that any phrase which has ta'zeemun lillah, which has an exaltation of Allah, wa huwa khalisun lahu, and it is exclusive to Allah, then this is enough for a person to make takbiratul ihram. So instead of a person saying Allahu Akbar, if a person said Allahu Al-Akbar, this is sufficient with them. Or instead of a person saying Allahu Akbar, a person said Allahu Ajal, or Allahu A'zam, or Inna Allaha Akbar, or Inna Allaha Ajal, or A'la, then all of this is sufficient. But that which is correct is, a person cannot initiate the prayer without the statement Allahu Akbar. And only this wording is allowed. Why? Because the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they do not mention any other wording except Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me praying. Also, in the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Miftahu salah at-tuhur. The key for the salah, it is at-tuhur. It is purification. Wa tahrimuha at-takbir. And the initiation of the salah, it is at-takbir. Meaning a person saying Allahu Akbar. And when a person says Allahu Akbar, he does it standing up and he raises his hands to the level of his shoulders while saying Allahu Akbar.
However, the raising of the hands, this is not from the arkan, this is from the sunan. And again, if a person is not able to stand up because of a disability throughout the salah, but he is able to stand up to make takbiratul ihram, then he has to do so. Because takbiratul ihram in the fard prayer, it is only done standing up. So this person, he stands up, he says Allahu Akbar, and then if it is difficult to remain standing up, then he sits down for the rest of the salah. Then the third shart, the third rukan, it is qira'atul fatiha, the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. And the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, it is a rukan in every single salah. So whether it is Salatul Jama'ah or Salatul Munfarid, if a person is praying in congregation or he's praying alone, whether a person is praying Salatul Fard or he's praying Salatul Nafal or he's praying Janaza or Al-Witr, in every single salah, Surah Al-Fatiha, it is a rukan. And the ulama, they only differed in the Salatul Jahriya, in the loud salawat, when the imam recites Surah Al-Fatiha, is it enough for the people behind him to remain silent? Because the recitation of the imam is the recitation of those who are praying behind them. This is where the ikhtilaf of the ulama is. So some of the ulama, they said, rather, a person has to recite Surah Al-Fatiha even if the imam is reciting Al-Fatiha out aloud. And the other ulama mentioned that if the imam is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha out aloud, then it is sufficient for the rest of the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا صلاة إلا بفاتحة الكتاب. There is no salah without the opening surah of the Quran, i.e. Surah Al-Fatiha. And if a person is not able to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, like for example, a new Muslim. So this new Muslim, he does not know the Arabic language and cannot recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Then it is sufficient for him to say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, until he is able to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in Arabic, and then he has to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And this is because when the man, when he spoke in the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, مَا جُعِلَتِ الصَّلَاةِ لِمِثْلِ هَذَا, that the salah has not been legislated for this talking. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَتْ لِلتَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ, rather the salah has only been legislated for saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and so on and so forth. So when a person is not able to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, he goes back to just repeating Subhanallah, for example. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith of Musi as-Salah, of the person who prayed the Salah badly, he said to him, إِن كَانَ مَعَكَ قُرْآن فَقْرَى, if you have the Qur'an with you, then recite the Qur'an. وَإِلَّا فَحْمِدْ وَكَبِّرْ وَهَلِّلْ ثُمَّ ارْكَعْ. Otherwise, if you do not have any of the Qur'an with you, then say Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, and then perform your ruku'. And this is also the same for instances in the salah in which the imam, in which, for example, you are finished reciting, but the imam, he's still in that position. For example, let's say, whilst you're standing up, you have recited Surah Al-Fatiha, and you have recited a surah which you know. And it is a quiet prayer, and the imam is still standing up, maybe he's still reciting. That instance in which there is a silence for you, you're not meant to remain silent. There should not be an instance in the salah in which you remain totally silent. Any instance like that, you repeat Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, so on and so forth. And this is a mistake often which people make. For example, in the first tashahud, let's say you are finished reciting a tashahud, however the imam, he's still sitting down reciting the tashahud, and maybe there is 1 or 2 minutes of a silence.
In that type of situation, you're not meant to remain silent, because the salah has not been legislated for absolute silence. It has only been legislated for tasbih and tahmid, tahleel and at-takbir. So in those silences, you either, if you are standing up, you recite more from the Quran, or if you are sitting down, you can send salah ala nabi, even if it is in the first tashahud. Or if you cannot do any of this, then the least which you do is you repeat subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah, so on and so forth. Because this is what the salah has been legislated for. Innama ju'ilat as-salah lit-tasbih wat-tahmid wat-tahleel. The salah has only been legislated for tasbih and tahmid and at-tahleel. And there is one situation in which if a person does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, then his rak'ah is complete. And this is when a person comes late and the imam is already in ruku'. So if a person enters the salah late and the imam is already in ruku', then he enters into the ruku' with the imam. And even though he hasn't recited Surah Al-Fatiha, the fact that he caught the ruku' with the imam, this is sufficient for him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is narrated that he said, "Man adraka ar-ruku' faqad adraka ar-rak'ah." That whoever catches the ruku', meaning with the jama'ah, with the imam, then he has caught the whole rak'ah. And then the next rukun is ar-ruku'. And the ruku', it is known, it is the lowering of the head and the placing of the hands upon the knees, and a person saying Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. This is the action of the ruku'. And Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ruk'u wasjudu. O people of iman, perform ruku' and perform as-sujud. And Allah said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ruk'u ma'ar raki'in. O people of iman, perform ruku' with those people performing ar-ruku'. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in the hadith of the man who prayed badly, he said, ثُمَّ ارْكَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And then go into ruku' until you are calm in your ruku'. So all of these ahadith and ayat, they show us that the ruku' is a rukun, it is a pillar, it is a fundamental action of the salah. So whoever misses out a rukun, whether it is intentionally or forgetfully, then his rak'ah, it is not complete. And whilst a person is in the ruku', he is not permitted to recite any Qur'an or make any dua. He only makes at-tasbih of Allah. He only makes, says the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Ala wa inni nuhitu an aqra'a al-Qur'an raki'an aw sajidan. He said, verily, I have been forbidden from reciting the Qur'an in my ruku' and in my sujood. However, in the sujood, a person is allowed to make dua, but in the ruku', a person is not allowed to make a dua. So the places in which a person makes dua in the salah are two. Either when he's in his sujood, or before at-tasleem and after as-salah ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These two situations, a person is encouraged to make any dua as much as he wants. And all of the other actions or situations of the salah, a person has to say what he has been ordered to say. And a person cannot make any general dua which he wants. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would make his ruku', he would make sure that his back and his head are both level. So his back would not be raised, or his back would not be too much lower down, and neither would his head be raised or his head too low. Both of them would be a level. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ركع لا يشخص رأسه. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he went into ruku', he would not raise his hand, his head would not be upright. وَلَا يُصَوِّبُهُ,
and neither would he nod his head, meaning lower his head like that. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. However, it was between both of these. Meaning his head was level with his back whilst he was performing his ruku'. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would perform his ruku', وَضَعَ يَدَيْهِ عَلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ, he would place both of his hands upon his knees. وَفَرَّجَ بَيْنَ إِصْبَعَيْهِ, and he would open up his fingers like this. And then Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Mas'ud, he said, وَهَاكَذَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يُصَلِّي, and this is how I saw the Messenger of Allah performing the Salah. So when a person makes Takbiratul Ihram, brothers, pay attention. When a person makes Takbiratul Ihram, his fingers have to be together. And when a person is in sujood, his fingers are together. But when a person is in ruku' and his hands on his knees, then his fingers have to be spread out like this. And Abu Mas'ud said, هَكَذَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يُصَلِّي. This is how I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam perform the salah. And then the next rukan is al-i'tidal min al-ruku'. And the meaning of al-i'tidal is that when a person stands up from the ruku', then he has to be settled whilst he is standing up. Meaning his bones and his limbs, they return to the correct place. They return to the correct place. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates, she said, فَكَانَ إِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would raise his head from the ruku', لَمْ يَسْجُدْ حَتَّى يَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا, he was not going to sujood until he was upright and standing straight. And this is from the arkan. So the i'tidal, standing up straight and being calm, and the bones returning to each position and being settled, this is from the arkan. And this is also another mistake that many people make. That when they stand up from the ruku', many of them, they're going to the sujood straight away. So, to show you as an example, and you see this in many people, that if they get up from the ruku', when they come to standing up, before they've stood up, they have gone down into sujood once again, as if it is a single motion. And they do the same in the sitting in the sujood. So for example, they are in sujood, and then they sit up, and then in one motion they go back down again. And all of this invalidates the salah. Rather, a person, when he gets up from the ruku, he has to have al-i'tidal. Meaning he has to stand for a moment of time, he has to be upright, his limbs and his bones settle in that standing position, and then he goes down into sujood. So these are three different scenarios or actions or motions. There is ruku', then there is standing, then there is sujood. And it isn't allowed for a person to make all of these three things one single motion, from ruku' to standing to sujood straight away without al-i'tidal. And then the next rukan, it is a sujood, to perform a sujood. Ay sajdatain, two sujood. And the sujood which a person performs, the prostration, this has to be on seven different limbs, meaning seven limbs have to be touching the floor. And the seven limbs are, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَسْجُدَ عَلَىٰ سَبْعَةِ أَعْضَىٰ, I've been ordered to perform sujood on seven different limbs. And they are, first of all, the forehead. So the forehead of a person has to touch the ground, al-jubha. And then the nose has to touch the ground. وَكَفَّيْهِ, and the two palms. And these two palms, as I mentioned, the fingers have to be together and they are facing the qibla. So they should not be facing outwards, rather facing the qibla. And then the two knees of a person touch the ground. And then the toes of the two feet, both of them are touching the ground, and the feet have to be together, meaning the ankles are touching each other. So these seven limbs or parts of the body have to be touching the ground when making a sujood. And then the next rukun is a raf minhu, is raising from the ruku, from the sujood. And as I mentioned, when a person rises from the sujood again with i'tidal, he has to do it so he goes up into the sitting position and then he's calm and settled in the sitting position. So if a person goes from the sujood to the sitting and then goes into the sujood again without al-i'tidal, then the salah or the rak'ah, it is not valid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of the musi as-salah, the man who prayed badly, he said to him, ثُمَّ رْفَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَافِعًا. Then get up from the sujood until you are calm, meaning in the sitting position, and then make sujood again. And then the next rukun is the sitting between the two sajdatain. That sitting, this is also from the arkan. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا رفع رأسه من السجدة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he raised his head from the prostration, from the sujood, لم يسجد حتى يستوي قاعدا. He would not go into the sujood again until he was upright in the sitting. So being upright in the sitting and being settled in the sitting, this is from the rukun of the salah. And then the next rukun is at-tama'nina. And the meaning of tama'nina is being calm, tranquil, and not rushing the salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith of Musi as-salah, the man who prayed badly, he saw him praying the salah quickly. He was rushing the salah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to him, a'id وصلي فإنك لم تصلي. He said to him, go back, repeat your salah because you have not prayed. So then the man, he repeated the salah and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he said to him one more time, أعد وصلي فإنك لم تصلي. Go back, repeat your salah because you have not prayed. And then this happened a third time. And then the man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one who has my soul in his hand, لَا أُحْسِنُ غَيْرَهَا, I don't know how to perform salah any better than this. فَعَلِّمْنِي, so teach me how to pray the salah properly. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told him all of the actions of the salah. And there's a difference between الطمأنينة and الخشوع. And sometimes people, they confuse between al-tama'nina and al-khushu'. Tama'nina is from the arkan. As for khushu', then this is from the sunan and the mukammilat, those things which perfect the prayer and increase the reward of the salah. But it is not from the arkan. The meaning of al-tama'nina, as I mentioned, it is being calm and tranquil and not rushing. And the ulama, they mention some of the dawabit, some of the guidelines of at-tama'nina. They say, for example, that the meaning of at-tama'nina is that every single limb of your body, it becomes settled in that position. So at-tama'nina in the ruku' is for your body to be settled and your limbs and your body parts to be settled and comfortable in a ruku'. And when you're standing up and when you're in sujood and sitting down and so on and so forth. Also, they mention imkaniyatu ityan al-adhkar, that the meaning of tama'nina or the limit of at-tama'nina is that you are able to say the adhkar in that position. So the meaning of tama'nina in sujood is that you're able to slowly and comfortably say subhana rabbi al-a'la. As long as you're able to comfortably and slowly say subhana rabbi al-a'la, this is now at-tama'nina. But if a person rushes the sujood, so he goes into sujood, he says Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, and then before he even completes Al-A'la, he is already sitting up, this is not At-Tama'nina. And so a person has to repeat his whole rak'ah, because that rak'ah and that sujood, it is not
valid. And also, as I mentioned, standing up from the ruku'. So if a person stands up from the ruku' and he says, Samiallahu alayhi wa rabbana wa lakal hamd, and then goes into the sujood, this is invalid. A person has to stand up, Samiallahu liman hamida, rabbana wa lakal hamd, he's calm and settled, and then he goes into the sujood. As for the khushu', then this is much more than this. So al-khushu', the meaning of khushu', it is al-khudu' wa tadhallul. It is the mental state a person is in being in complete submission, and at-tadhallul, being weak and in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of al-khushu'. And al-khushu', it is two types. There's al-khushu' al-batani and there's al-khushu' al-zahiri. The inward khushu' and the outward khushu'. And the inward khushu', this is firstly making tadabbur over the ayat of Allah. Are you thinking about what you are reciting? Knowing the meaning of what you are reciting? Understanding the wisdoms behind the adhkar? All of this is al-khushu' al-batani. At-tafakkur wa tadabbur, all of this is the inner khushu'. And as for the outward khushu', then it is, for example, not looking around, looking down, not preceding the imam, and so on and so forth. All of this also enters into al-khushu'. But what we have to differentiate is, al-khushu' is from the sunan, and al-tama'nina is from the arkan. So the tama'nina you have to have, you cannot rush the prayer. As for al-khushu', the extra state that you are in terms of feeling humble in front of Allah, at-tadhallul, and being in complete submission in front of Allah, this is from the sunan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the salah of different types of people. He said, "Inna ahadakum la yansarifu min salatihi." He said, "One of you, he finishes from the salah, wa laysa lahu minha illa al-ushar, and he does not gain the reward of the salah except a tenth. And another person, only a ninth. Wal akhar a thuman, and another person only an eighth. Another person a subu' wa sudus wal khumus." And all the way up to a nis. So this is the different levels of reward that a person gets. Some people, they perform the same salah, but they have only received the reward of only half of the salah, because the khushu was not there. The salah is still valid, but the reward is only a half. And some people, because they are not concentrating, only a third of their reward. And some only a fourth. All the way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ila al-ushar, only a tenth of the reward. So the varying levels of the reward, this is according to al-khushu', according to how much a person spiritually is in the salah. Does he feel submissive in front of Allah? Is he making tadabbur on what he's reciting, the adhkar and the ayat? This is where the reward is. As for sihatu salah, as for the validity of the salah, this is in at-tama'nina. And then the next rukun, it is at-tartib. And the meaning of at-tartib is a person has to perform each rukun in its correct order. So a person cannot, for example, recite Surah Al-Fatiha before Takbiratul Ihram. And a person cannot go into sujood before ruku' and so on and so forth. And then the next rukun is at-tashahud al-akhir, the last tashahud. So in the dhuhr salah, which is 4 raka'at, the tashahud in the 4th raka'ah, this is the rukun. And this is mentioned in many ahadith, at-tahiyyat and as-salah ala nabi in various ahadith. Also sitting for it, that a person has to sit and say the tashahud, وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, and also sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is what is correct from the madhab of the Hanabila and the Shafi'iyya, is sending at the tashahhud upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ, if one of you performs a salah, فَلْيَبْدَ بِتَحْمِيدِ رَبِّهِ, then begin by praising Allah, meaning Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, وَالثَّنَا عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, and then send salutations upon the Prophet. And the meaning of As-Salah ala al-Nabi is As-Salah al-Ibrahimiyyah, meaning Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahima wa ala Ali Ibrahima innaka hamidun majid, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad, to the end of it. And then finally, At-Taslim, making the Taslim, I saying Aslamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, and turning to the right direction and then the left direction. And a person is only allowed to end the salah with at-taslim. So these are the arkan of the salah. They are 14 in number. And as I mentioned, if a person leaves a rukun, whether it is intentionally or forgetfully, then he has to repeat that rak'ah again. There are al-qiyamu ma'al qudra, standing, if you are able to stand in the fard prayer. وتكبيرة الإحرام, and the first statement of Allahu Akbar, وقراءة الفاتحة, reciting Surah الفاتحة, الركوع, going to ركوع, الاعتدال من الركوع, and then being calm when standing up from ركوع, والسجود على الأعضاء السبعة, and making سجود on the seven limbs, والرفع منه, and then rising from the سجود, والجلسة بين السجدتين, and the sitting between the two sujood, وَالطَّمَأْنِينَ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَفْعَالِ, and having طَمَأْنِينَ, being calm and tranquil and not rushing all of the actions, وَالتَّرْتِيب بَيْنَ الْأَرْكَانِ, and the correct sequence between the arkan, وَالتَّشَهُدُ الْأَخِيرِ, and the final tashahhud, وَالْجُلُوسُ لَهُ, the sitting of the final tashahhud, وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, and salah ala nabi wa taslimatan, and the two taslim. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.